We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
So you think this internet thing is gonna stick around? You think
it's here
to stay, or is it just a fad?
So. Nah,
I think
pass.
It's a fad. I hope it's a fad.
It'll
some
pass.
Days.
Although looking at the way we have it now, it might be too good to be true. It's free. It's open. Anybody can start a business mm-hmm. and make it wildly successful without paying a lot of money other than what their business costs are. It's pretty great.
How's your internet speed?
It's fine.
It's pretty good. Yeah, mine's
it's
pretty
fine.
Good, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not complaining about internet. I mean, we all get impatient when, you know, you see the blue wheel of death or whatever. All right, come on.
The spinning wheel,
just because
yeah.
we're impatient as humans and spoiled. But it's pretty fine.
We should not take anything for granted.
Yeah.
When it comes
especially
to
now.
Internet mm-hmm. speeds, availability, bandwidth.
Access.
Want to go back to the AOL.
Don't judge. I still have AOL.
Remember that? The mm-hmm. dial-up? Yes.
You've got mail.
You've got mail.
I still have it.
Net neutrality. Why should listeners at home who are scratching their heads now, maybe more than usual, care about net neutrality? Well, net neutrality, which was enacted under President Obama, ensured that cable providers, internet providers, treat internet content equally. Today, this net neutrality was abolished, repealed by the U.S. Federal Communications Commission, by the FCC, a vote of 3-2. The concern was that net neutrality may discourage investment. Now, according to Fortune magazine, ultimately the debate is about how best to finance the upgrade in infrastructure that is going to be needed to cope with an inconceivable rise in data traffic over the next few years. As digitization and mobile technologies permeate every area of household and commercial life. So that was the concern. That was the reason why this was repealed today. And we're just trying to wrap our heads around this and understand what it means for business, what it means for consumers. So we asked Dr. Christopher Terry to join us today. He's Assistant Professor of Media Law and Ethics at the University of Minnesota. Dr. Terry, thank you for joining us.
Hey, great to be here.
What is your take? Is this a good day for consumers, or is this something that should give us pause?
It's something that should give consumers a bit of pause. I am nervous about the potential outcomes for consumers as this becomes implemented. So the vote today is just the first step in a administrative process that begins.
Okay, so tell us why you're nervous. I have my reasons, but tell us, as someone who's way more educated about this than me, what are you nervous about?
Well, the concept of net neutrality discusses two basic principles: the relationship between your ISP and you, and whether or not your internet service provider can block you from certain content, essentially mm-hmm. just dropping the garage door between you and the content that you would like to access online.
That'd be horrific, by the way.
Yes, or the more common practice in terms of internet and net neutrality is the process of throttling. That's where your internet service provider essentially kinks off the garden hose a little bit mm-hmm. to slow down the flow when they don't like the content that you're looking at.
So we get frustrated and maybe go somewhere else that's a little faster?
Yeah, and where it's very likely to see things that are faster is that many ISPs, Verizon, Comcast, AT&T, even Spectrum, to a lesser degree, they own their own content, right? And a lot of that content competes with other people's content that's online.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They have an economic incentive to slow your access to content that competes with the content they themselves own.
Mm-hmm. Professor, the federal government will no longer regulate high-speed internet as if it were a utility like phone service. Can you explain how that works?
Sure. When in 2015... the FCC implemented the Title II rules, which were actually the third set of net neutrality rules. first set being from 2005, and then there was a set issued in 2010. They reclassified communication services, broadband, as a communication service, which made it essentially the same way that your old on-the-wall telephone, your old hardwired telephone was, which makes it a utility service. What the vote does, the vote that was taken today does, is reclassify it back to an information service. And that treats it under what's known as Title I, where it is not the same. So under Title II, what happens is every bit of information that passes between you and a website goes through your ISP and is treated exactly the same. They flow in at a certain speed. There's no discrimination against that content. Mm-hmm. Under Title I, under the new rules that will be in effect in about 30 days, the ISPs get to dictate which content moves at which speed.
So, Professor Terry, I was reading about this today, and I was trying to get a better understanding of what this would look like if there were more regulation and the ISPs get to pick and choose or slow down what I look at. And it's my understanding that this goes on already in Spain and Portugal. Are you familiar with those models?
Yeah, what you have in the U.S. that's different than some of the European countries is that this old-style regulation is left over from the telephone system, mm-hmm. In fact. And under that system, you connected to a call, the telephone company was allowed to make money on the interconnection of you to the other person. Mm-hmm. Title II regulations worked that way, but the Title I regulations work more like the European model, where the internet service provider gets to dictate how information moves through the network.
So, like, let's say I go on the internet and I want to get on Netflix. So I get on, I put in, you know, Netflix.com, I want to get on. A screen could pop up that says, your package doesn't include Netflix. If you want to now watch Netflix, you can upgrade $5 more a month or whatever to pay your ISP to get Netflix, or you know, it wouldn't be part of my package. Like maybe I could go to ESPN.com or I could go to another movie site, but I wouldn't be able to access Netflix, right? Would it be like packages for cable that they pick and choose what they're going to offer me?
Well, we don't know for sure, but that's certainly the model that it looks like. I do think it is far more likely that rather than blocking you and charging you for Netflix directly, what the cable company will do is charge Netflix more money to deliver the content to you.
And that's going to stop the new Netflix coming up from even competing because they don't have the money. They can't compete with Netflix, so it's going to squash innovation.
Is that what this is? Is this kind of monopolistic companies that are trying to lower the probability of startup companies eating their lunch down the road?
Well, it depends on what side of the debate you ask. I think that that's not necessarily the intent, but certainly a potential effect of the relationship.
But ultimately, if my cable company throttles me, and I wouldn't be alone, I mean, others would be throttled, they're in the business to make money and to try to keep their customers happy. So in the marketplace of ideas and services, I mean, wouldn't that be self-defeating for a big company like a cable, you know, a Comcast or any cable company?
Well, they know we don't have any other options.
Well, I mean,
do we?
Well, in many here in the Twin Cities, we would have alternatives.
Usually, you have
outlying
at least one
areas in the state.
Right.
There's many places in Minnesota that only have one broadband provider available.
Right.
In that situation, they don't. But it comes down to this: are you happy with your cable company at all times? Because that's who's delivering your ISP to you. And if you're happy with the decision that your cable companies make, then you don't have to worry about net neutrality. But if you ever feel like the cable company might be shrifting you a little bit, then you might have to think twice about it.
And Professor Arndt, I mean, cable companies, this brave new world of cable cord cutting, you know, people doing without the typical cable bundle on the TV side, I mean, they're bread and butter now, and their profits are being driven by internet versus television, correct?
Correct, but you have to remember, many of the ISPs have their own television content. Comcast, you know, the provider here in the Twin Cities, dominant provider here in the Twin Cities, owns all of the NBC properties, right? So they have content that they want you to watch because they make money off you watching that content.
Right.
But then I'm only watching NBC. I'm not getting anything else.
Well, you're going to watch the content that they want you to watch, right? That's going to be the content that's easiest to access. And you know, your old Netflix example is the easy one, right? If Netflix isn't working, you're not going to sit there and watch the Wheel of Death spin. You're going to switch to something else. And because information is not treated neutrally and the ISP gets to dictate which information moves through the system at which speed, they're obviously going to make the products that they have and they profit from you using easier to use, and things that don't necessarily increase their profits harder. And in a lot of places, you're not going to have much of an option to do anything about that because there's no competition in the broadband market. Many of the cable companies that are delivering ISP and broadband content to you are left over from the cable monopolies in the 70s.
Very interesting. Well, we'll see how this shakes out.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
A lot of people concerned about what happened today in Washington. Mm-hmm. But Dr. Christopher Terry, Assistant Professor of Media Law and Ethics, thank you for helping us navigate the minefield here. And we appreciate you joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
You got it. Thanks, Doc. I don't understand how they can say this is deregulation, because what we're doing is effectively squashing small business. You know, if the administration says they want to help small businesses grow, the best and easiest and least expensive way to start a small business is online.
Right.
How, and I understand
it's balancing that with big businesses that have big budgets, that have lobbyists, that make campaign donations.
Right. It's so in favor of the big guy.
Yeah. Well, but it's always been that way, right? The big companies, the monopolies, have the money to throw at lobbyists to be able to tailor not only tax law but policy that favors their business.
It sounds un-American that has to
not,
me.
That has not changed. I mean, it's been that way. So, yeah, we need to make some changes perhaps.
It's 5:22. We will return in a moment.
Some days I feel like I'm being lowered slowly, head first, into a cesspool.
That's what it's like working with me, huh? Thanks, buddy.
No. Just reading the news. Just being immersed in this petri dish of nastiness.
Oh, honey,
but
I know it.
We have to remember that the majority of the world, the majority of the people on this planet are good.
That's the truth.
You know, there's good and evil, and good wins out at the end of the day. But unfortunately, it is a wonderful life.
It is.
And, oh boy, to live in Bedford Falls. You can step back in time to Bedford Falls this Sunday night at 7 o'clock. Please listen in as WCCO Radio brings you a live radio show of the classic holiday movie, It's a Wonderful Life. Now in its 12th year at the St. Paul Hotel, It's a Wonderful Life is presented by Cars for Recovery, a program of Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge. And Jordana and me are very excited to be a small part of what is really an amazing production.
We'll be doing the intro at the live production on Sunday. Very excited. And it'll be replayed, of course, here on Christmas Day.
Christmas Day, yep.
Great stuff. Some of your texts here on net neutrality, interesting. This texter writes, so is this what Trump meant by MAGA, Make America Great Again? Getting rid of net neutrality, con artist in chief. Next text says, Jordana, you're being so naive. It's all about the fat cats ruling the GOP, which in turn is now ruling us. Yeah, I guess I am. I'm being naive and I'm being outraged. You know, what they call deregulation looks a lot like regulation from a small business side to me. Where small businesses are going to lose out on this one. Next text says this. It's amazing how the GOP buffaloed the American people into believing they are the party that would advocate for the lower and middle class.
And you know, Paul, good may win out, but it may take days or weeks or years or centuries to get there.
We hope sooner.
We have to keep trying to move in that direction.
We hope sooner. In fact, someone doing something wonderful is Mike Clark. We spoke with him on Labor Day at the State Fair, and he runs a program that's now in its 16th year. Mike and his wife, Sandy, are the directors for Toys for Military Kids. It's a 501c3 through the Association of the United States Army that raises money and collects toys for distribution to children of all our armed forces. Toys are distributed at scheduled parties in conjunction with monthly drills. Now, in the last 3 weeks, they have sent over 2,000 toys to 43 units in 4 states.
Wow.
Yet there are still more to serve. There are collection boxes are in place around the Twin Cities. They're at all 5 Twin Cities Harley-Davidson dealers.
Okay.
So if you're going on in there, you can drop off a new or unused toy at O'Gara's and Mancini's in St. Paul and Tanucci's in Newport, or at all 5 of the Twin Cities Harley dealers. For more information, you can go to vesseychapter.org. It's V-E-S-S-E-Y chapter.org. vetsforvets.org and click Get Involved.
We love our vets. We want to support our vets and their families. And we appreciate what you, the sacrifices you've made for all of us. So
absolutely.
Thank you.
Including you. Brett's coming home, so that's
Brett's
fantastic.
Coming home. That's Can't right. wait.
You're one of the yes. lucky military families that has him home this Christmas.
Yeah, I take nothing for granted.
So thanks to Mike and Sandy Clark for this great stuff, and we will be back after the break.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personality.
It's kind of like us, Paul, right? Just 15 minutes, maybe?
No, it's more like 5 or 6
five,
minutes.
Yeah, 5 or 6, that's it. That's all
working
we
up to 15 minutes.
Oh, my goodness. Well, our next guest has been working on creating a way to disrupt his industry. It's mm-hmm. really cool stuff. Go ahead.
Tim Healy, yeah, is president and CEO of Tackle Bar Football. Both my boys played football. Like every other parent, you know, at some point I was worried and mm-hmm. still am worried, increasingly worried. Especially when it comes to concussions and head injuries, you know, this traumatic brain injury.
Terrible.
I mean, it really scary. Makes you wonder. And so there's an opportunity for reinvention and for maybe a safer way to play the game we all love so much. Tim Healy, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
You bet. Can you summarize for listeners the essence of what Tackle Bar Football is, what you invented, and why it is, in fact, a step in the right direction when it comes to safety?
Yep. So Tackle Bar Football, it's a safer approach to the game, but it still preserves the tradition and spirit. It teaches safe contact and sound fundamentals. And what we do is all the kids wear a helmet and shoulder pads, and then actually, I did not invent it. Jeremy and Bridget Ling did. They wear a harness around their waist with foam bars on the back. And so what it forces you to do is when you come up to tackle the ball carrier, you do everything the same. You come up, you break down, you wrap your arms around, and then you grab one of the tackle bars and you pull it off. They come off easy, and then the play's over. So what you don't do is you don't just smear him and pile drive him into the ground where so many of the concussions and injuries happen on the tackle, either to the ball carrier or to the defender. So a much safer way.
Are you trying to change the game so football will be played this way, or will eventually, when the kids get older, they'll start tackling?
Yes, and that it's the second one.
Okay.
We want to get as many kids, ultimately, to the high school programs. You look and so the numbers are down so drastically at the youth level and all the way through high school. We're trying to have a transition game where we can get more kids to start playing, enjoy the game, realize that you can do it safely, and then ultimately go to tackle.
Why did they invent this? Did they have a problem with their children?
Yes. Their children, they first of all, they played flag football, and it kind of ran its course, and their kids referred to it as baby football. and they wanted to tackle, and as parents, they were concerned, just like you said, Paul. I mean, you read the press out there, it's just alarming. I mean, it's just, yeah, it's hard mm-hmm. not to be concerned.
Right.
So they started coming up with some ideas on how they could make a safer game. I actually got introduced to it last year. I coached my son's football team up at Providence, and I absolutely loved it. Absolutely loved how the game is played. I personally played football up at St. John's, and then I tried out with the New Orleans Saints. So I'm all in on football. But we have to do something to attract more people. We have to offer some safer option so that the moms and the dads will let their kids play football.
And the threat is greater for younger kids, right? I mean, isn't there a correlation in terms of brain injury or not?
Yeah, no, there's no question that the more hits that a child takes, the worse they are in life. So if you can delay when they get their first hit, that means something, that there's some value there. So if we can, you know, stop the clicker from clicking until maybe 7th, 8th, 9th grade, absolutely the kids would be safer.
I was reading in some of your press, it says a child's brain is not fully formed until around age 13. So it could be dangerous for them to absorb, you know, these collisions, especially when they're young. So that's what you're trying to do. You're trying
yes.
to delay
yep.
Those hits.
Yep. And we really, you know, even now we're getting in, you know, we just signed up Lakeville North, South, and Farmington for their third grade. So they're going to use this as a transition game for their kind of first year, what they used to do tackle, now they're going to do tackle bar and kind of introduce, you know, you can introduce the plays and the formation stances, because it's very different than flag football. The step from flag to tackle mm-hmm. is really big, but tackle bar, it really isn't, because eventually you're just going to wrap, and we teach the proper shoulder technique, so your head's up, you're wrapping, and then, you know, finally you're just going to take the guy down when you go to tackle football.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Do you get a lot of initial skepticism until you really explain that, you know, techniques? I mean, this is still football, right? I mean, you're doing everything the same except when it comes to tackling small children.
Yeah, and one thing I try to do is drive people to our website, because we have just game film that we show on there, and it just shows you that this is the normal game speed is the same. Everything's the same, except you're not taking a kid down to the ground. So for surely we get some skepticism, because you have the kind of the diehard football people. But when you really talk and you say, hey, we're talking third and fourth graders, you know, do they really need to tackle?
Right.
And most acquiesce. I actually had a discussion with one gentleman back in Forest, and, you know, he was a little snarky, and then he kind of got it. I talked to him the other day for a half hour. We're like, best buddies now.
It was real. I was watching some of your videos online, and I can see where you're saying that they're still learning the skill of almost pre-tackling would be,
right,
because the kids wrap their arms around the waist of the person they want to take down,
yep,
because the bar, the foam bar, is on the child's back.
Right.
And is it a Velcro adhesion?
No, there's two plastic tongs that it sticks in, and then you pull it out.
Oh, I see.
And they're flexible.
And it's like the size of a baton, like when
yes,
you do a relay. So people yes, that are just envisioning this in their head, and you can go on tacklebar.com, see how this is used, but it's, you know, the size of a baton, like you pass if you're doing
yes,
a running relay.
Yeah, and we've had some real success recently with endorsements. The Vikings, back in October, they've gotten behind this. I've worked with E.J. Henderson throughout the summer doing some summer camps with him, and we ran some games at the Winter Park. And then more recently, the Minnesota Football Coaches Association, which is the high school coaches, they got behind it, and it just – to me, it just confirms that we're doing something right, that these big football entities are saying, hey, this is good for football.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm probably talking to 50 different communities right now in the state, trying to figure out where can this fit in. And we really see the best place for us is a transitional. So from flag to tackle, we kind of sneak right in that spot.
Tim, I'm going to ask you an unfair question here. With all the concern about CTE, you know, chronic traumatic encephalopathy.
You got it.
Yes, that's a mouthful. CTE is so much easier. But it's almost gotten to the point, and I love to watch football, especially college football, but, you know, I love to watch the Vikings. And you watch some of these games and these hits that these guys are taking, and it just... I don't know. I have a little inherited Catholic guilt. You know, should I be cheering? These men, you know, are being injured in some cases for months or even permanently. What is your outlook? What do you think is going to happen to football? If you know, looking in your crystal ball, are we going to figure out, even at a pro level, at an NFL level, are we going to really find safer ways to play the game and still have the purity of the football game that we all love?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is going to get down to technique, and if we can really get proper technique in at a very young age and really get it ingrained that you never lead with your head. I mean, I grew up where, you know, you put your helmet, your face mask between the numbers. I mean, you always led with your head. So I think that's where some of the really bad collisions and injuries come, is when you lead with your head.
Right.
And they're doing it now. And you know, was it Harrison Smith? Didn't he get kicked out of he got ejected for a hit. You know, so that's going to be that I think it'll work itself out that way, but we have to have more kids playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's, that's a bigger concern, is the drop-off has been 30-40% over the last 5 or 6 years.
It's been that high.
It's stabilized.
I know so many parents that we're going to do it, then they go to a program on this and say, hey, these are the dangers, and they pull their kids out. I know a lot of my son's friends.
Oof. Well, we got to get Tackle Bar.
Absolutely.
What community are you? I'll talk to them.
Hey, give us your website again, Tim.
Yeah, it's tacklebar.com.
Okay. Easy enough.
Yeah.
Tim Healy, President and CEO of Tackle Bar Football, thank you for what you're doing to try to do things differently and keep our kids safer in the process. And we certainly wish you the very best. Good luck. Godspeed.
Thanks,
Tim. Thanks, guys. Yep.
You bet. Wow.
It's a tough call. It really is. The kids love it, but no one wants these kids to get hurt. That's why I thought maybe in the beginning he's going to change the game. And it's just going to be using this tackle bar. There's going to be no more hard hits and no more, you know, takedowns and tackles. But this is just kind of delaying the inevitable.
You just wonder if there's something with helmet technology in the future that can actually prevent, you know, these spearing, leading with a head, leading mm-hmm. with a helmet. I mean, that's where people
They'll
get into trouble.
I have faith.
I hope so.
Alexa, turn on WCCO radio.
830 WCCO from TuneIn.
I'm trying to train Alexa. She gets sassy every now and then.
She's pretty good.
She's pretty good.
Does she do the, Paul, I don't understand, every now and then?
Actually,
does she know your name yet?
Actually, well, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I mean, it sounds like an Amazon commercial, but $79 now for one of these Alexa Echoes, these Amazon Echoes.
Uh-huh.
And the music, the speaker is good.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever station you're listening to, and we hope that we're a part of your radio diet. But we actually have our blinds going up and down.
Through the Alexa?
Voice commands.
That's so cool.
We turn on the radio. We turn on the TV. It's nice to be able to come in and say, hey, Alexa, what's the temperature? What's the 7-day forecast?
You're making everybody's Alexas go nuts right now. You know that.
Hey, Alexa. Hey, Alexa. Please put $20 in an envelope. Send it to. All right. We'll try this again tomorrow.
We'll try.
Thanks, everyone.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.